Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and other things. There's a long list, but we don't have time to name them all. What we do have time to name is the rest of the team out here. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined by my compatriots. Mr. Guy English is here. Hello, Guy.
Well, here's where I usually drop in a astute observation in the form of humor about the topic at hand. We have no topic, so...
Very smooth.
No observation.
Little bit left flapping in the breeze here.
Okay. John Maltz is also here.
I am also here. It is correct.
Yeah. Well, this one's going to be a winner. Really, look, and I'm eating dessert. So, you know, it's really, we're professionals here at Biff. I'd like everybody to know that. Which reminds me that, of course, just your occasional reminder that you can sign up and support The Incomparable at theincomparable.com/members. And you can throw a little money towards your good friends
this
at Biff.
And other fine programming.
If you enjoy hearing our show, which, why wouldn't you? Then, you know, throw a little money our way.
That seems like exactly the wrong time to...
That's our show for this week, everybody. Thanks for coming.
It's going to get better. Come on.
Is it?
We have something to talk about.
All right.
Okay. I came up with an idea.
John came up with
a
topic.
Perfectly serviceable idea.
It is perfectly cromulent. And so once again, we are still between our shows for recapping. And so this week we will be sort of just opening to a more freeform discussion. And John Maltz has brought a topic for all of us here.
And the topic is...
Which he may share with us now.
What superhero stuff did you grow up on? I'm thinking mostly, I guess the occasional movie, but mostly like TV shows and comic books, I would assume.
Yeah, I think that's probably...
Yeah. Let's not delineate the bounds
something?
Right now.
Movies, no. TVs, yeah,
right,
comic books.
Right.
Those are probably the main ones, yeah.
Yeah, whatever comes to mind, and if we feel that they're out of bounds, then we'll argue with each other at the time.
Sure. Yeah. We'll yell at each other. Right.
So here's
a little bit of drama.
Here's the funny thing. As soon as you said that, like, I got flooded with about 40 things worth talking about. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can talk about this for hours. So.
See, I told you.
I will say the interesting thing for me is just the... So right now, of course, we live in an era when there is a wealth of information about all this stuff, right? Like everything across the internet, like there's wikis and every available subject. If you need to know the entire history of a comic book character, you can look them up and you can basically be told these are the issues they appear in. This is when this happened. This is when this happened. And I find so often that when I look up stuff, when, you know, a new Marvel movie gets announced and they talk about, this character is going to be in it. And I go and look up that character. I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of know about that character. And I cannot remember for the life of me how I ever learned that, because it wasn't as though that was a resource that you really had available. Even when I was a teenager in the 90s growing up, like, there weren't these huge free databases of information. So I feel like I must have absorbed it from somewhere. But I am not sure where much of it came from.
That's just cultural knowledge.
Right, but where does that come from?
Hanging out with
other kids.
You've known Tony forever. Tony's read all kinds of stuff. Tony Sindelar. I don't know. Like, I got a bunch of stuff from... I started buying comic books, but every now and then I would buy, like Marvel would put out a big book of superheroes kind of thing. Like, it was still a comic book
format. I was going to mention that. I loved that thing.
Me too.
Yeah, that was awesome. It would be a page with each superhero and villain, and it would show their powers and their history. But the thing that I really liked was that it was concise, because it would give you just enough information about the character that you would need to know without I love Wikipedia, but you get into some of those explanations of like their history, and it's just like, what the hell?
It gets down in the weeds. I will say
completely
in related to this, I'm gonna send you guys a link to this because I think it's funny. So I do remember owning this. It was essentially like a little mass market paperback that I had as a kid But it was like, you know, the printed on the super cheap paper. And it was this book that was basically like the Superman backstory. And it was like really condensed and ran through all these various things that years later, like details I could still remember, like all the different colors of kryptonite and what they did. But it was all like in this whole, you know, it was a comic. It was written and drawn. And I don't know how much it was just sort of a standalone thing, right? Like it wasn't that it was necessarily like the canonical, this run collected or whatever, right? Like, but I remember things like there's a bit in there where it's like, oh yeah, well, Superman realized he couldn't be everywhere at once, so he built a whole bunch of robots that he could send to, like, that look exactly like Superman. And I was like, whoa! And like, you know, like 30 years later, I'm sitting here going, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But that's like, that's an example for me of something that I like internalized as a kid, because I definitely read that book several times, and like everything I know about Superman really up to a point came from that.
I do think that one of the reasons, I don't want to speak for John, but I think one of the reasons that we can speak to random characters of long past is that little book that I think it's called the Marvel Encyclopedia. I'm not sure.
I think you're right. I mean, that's how I pick. I read some comics growing up, but very spotty. Like I wasn't going down to the drugstore every week to see what was on the rack. I would wander in there every once in a while, you know, like when my mom was going to pick something up or something, and I would say, oh, well, this looks neat, and I happen to have a buck in my pocket or something like that, and I would buy an issue. And I happen to have I have like three or four Captain Americas in a row somehow, and then I have a couple of Hulks that are not consecutive, but they're like spaced out over like 6 months or something like that, and a couple of, same with the Fantastic Four. I mean, and I had, I remember I also had a bunch of Shazam comics growing up. Yeah. And so I never knew who any of these, I knew who the characters were. Oh, the other thing was, like, there was this, I had a Fantastic, like a big Fantastic Four thing that was like, you know, like a foot tall, you know. Oh, yeah. It wasn't very thick or anything, but it was one of those big printed things, and it had I'm pretty sure it was big like that, but it had blueprint of the Baxter Building in it.
I think I've seen that too.
Cool. Yeah. And so I knew who the main characters were, but then they'd be fighting all these other people. Anytime I didn't know any of the bad guys, other than it was like that one issue was my first introduction to whoever the bad guy was. And then they never, like, because of my buying habits, I never saw them again.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just because, I mean, like the first superhero thing that I ever got into was the George Reeves Superman show, the black and white Superman show, which was on, you know, I mean, I didn't watch it when it was airing.
Didn't you?
You know what? I was not going to take that. I was not going to take the swing at you.
Well, actually, let me make sure, but I'm pretty sure I did not.
No, there's no way.
I don't think you are. I don't think you're old.
When did that
enough run? I want to say in the
40s. Yeah. Come on.
I was thinking it was 50s. The 50s. I think it was the 50s.
Just before your
Adventure
time.
Suit 1952 to 1958. So no, I did not watch that when I was alive. But it was on in syndication, and so I watched a whole mess of those. And I think that was probably the first thing that I watched. And then the 1960. I always get the date wrong.
66.
The Batman movie. The Batman 66. TV show.
I definitely remember watching the Batman TV show in reruns, like in my grandmother's house and stuff like that.
Exact same thing.
Yeah. I definitely remember
in Dan's grandmother's house.
Yeah, why? Well, it's weird.
In Wales,
but, you know.
For some reason, I don't know what she was doing in Wales, but that's where she was at the time.
But yeah, I think that's probably where my first Batman knowledge came from. Like, I can't imagine there was anything earlier than that for me. I mean, I have memories of seeing on video the first Michael Keaton Batman, but it was not even, I actually didn't see the whole thing because Jack Nicholson scared me too much, so I like left the room.
Oh wow.
I saw it opening night, man.
Yeah, like that's 10, it. This is where the age difference is actually.
I saw it at midnight and I had to go to work the next day.
Wow, midnight showing.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not have
working
to go to
for
work.
The working for the government.
I was going to say, well, you were what, 40, 50 at that point, so it was you were old enough to.
I was 24 or something, probably. 23.
Yeah, I was in my mid to late teens, I think. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing hit right at the right time for me. I think I had a sense of who Batman was before that, just because I think it's sort of inescapable. For some reason, I loved Spider-Man. I don't know why. I don't know where I got it from. I always loved Spider-Man. I would climb around my grandparents' house as Spider-Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I watched
crawl
the
along
cartoon.
The floor and up onto the beds and all that. Maybe it was a cartoon. I don't know.
Yeah,
I watched
that cartoon. Yeah. I think I probably watched a little bit of the Hulk cartoon and a little bit of the Fantastic Four cartoon as well, but more of the Spider-Man.
I definitely
I knew that song for.
Oh yeah, I mean, I knew the song. But I definitely had a pair of pajamas that were Batman pajamas that had a cape that velcroed to it.
Oh, that's
100%.
That's pretty cool.
I watched Underdog. Underdog is a super.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, counts. Yeah. I'm on board with
that. Counts.
Yeah.
And because you mentioned sheets, I had Underdog sheets.
Oh yeah, and I had a towel that like my mom like safety pinned a shoelace to that I could tie around my neck as like a super Superman cape too.
Sure.
I love how death defying all of these cards. Like they were probably flammable and tied to your neck.
Oh yeah, tied to my neck. Yeah, shoelace tied around my neck. I don't know who thought that was a good idea.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Not that your mom's not a lovely, beautiful, caring woman, but it's like the raising kids has changed over the years.
Oh yeah.
That it has. Absolutely. Yeah.
I will say though, I think the first sort of I would say Batman and Superman, you know, sure, well known, right? Like again, like I think you said, Guy, cultural knowledge, like you couldn't, unless you were trying very hard, you couldn't really escape that. But I think my first exposure to comics beyond Batman and Superman was probably, I'm gonna have to check the years on this, because it was either Batman the Animated Series, or the one that sticks in my mind even a little bit more than that was the X-Men Animated Series. Because
you're one of those. You're like a 90s kid.
Yeah, I mean, I think it came on probably when I was in my early teens. So I certainly had watched a bunch of the Batman animated series, but it still fell into that category of like, oh, it's Batman, right? Like it's still Batman.
Right.
It didn't really have a wider world. Whereas in X-Men, you had all of these characters who were all sort of new and connected, and it was like a whole world building thing that was going on there. And I think that was the first point where I got the idea of like, oh, there is something much bigger happening here.
Yeah. I think I tried to watch some of that with Hank when he was little. And it was just like, it was so aggravating. It was just, there was so much laser. They would run into bad guys and the bad guys would just be shooting lasers at them. And like, why are they using lasers? Why are there so many lasers in this dumb show?
Because everything in that era had them. G.I. Joe had lasers.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe was like a decade before, though.
Yes.
Like my version of the X-Men show was basically G.I. Joe and the Transformers, like the original.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I watched a bunch of that Transformers.
Yeah. Which at the time I thought was cool. And I don't know.
G.I. Joe kind of a superhero, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In a way.
Kind of a superhero show, I would say. I mean, that cartoon, anyway.
The cartoon,
you know, not my era, you know, foot tall G.I. Joes that were really army,
I had
army
one of those
soldiers.
Too. Yeah, with the eyeballs I could move, right?
Yeah.
The action. Yeah. Oh no. These were awesome. These were legitimate, honest to God dolls. They were.
Yeah,
they were
I've seen. I've definitely seen them. I just wanted.
I had the space capsule too.
Oh, nice.
I just want to throw out, because I looked up the dates. I was curious that. Batman the Animated Series and the X-Men Animated Series basically started within 2 months of each other. Batman the Animated Series started in September 92.
Like could not be more different in quality.
Well, sure. Yes.
Exactly. Batman the Animated Series
is great.
Wow. That is just a great work of television.
I found the X-Men series to be unwatchable as an adult anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the X-Men one is not great, certainly.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the first time that I was like, oh, the X-Men, who are this? I have some vague memory of finding in my elementary school like an old X-Men comic from the 60s or something, and I was like, my God, how is this so old? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I was trying to do math and as like a 10-year-old or whatever, you're trying to figure out like,
the 60s, but that was forever ago.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like three of your lifetimes ago.
Yeah, but I remember it had like Professor X in like a, you know, just a normal wheelchair instead of like the hover chair they had in the cartoons.
Right.
And it had them all wearing, I think, the old costumes. And it was like, you know, Beast without any blue fur and Angel before he was Archangel and all that stuff. And it was like...
Before he was Archangel.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, in the comics. So I like, you know,
no, I just hate the whole Archangel thing. Like,
yeah, well,
I was
that's why I knew him from
in the cartoon. In the cartoon, he's Archangel, and it's like,
of course, because it's the 90s and he's got
he needs to throw blades.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And have blue skin or whatever.
So here's the thing. I like some of that run of X Factor where he gets turned into the Archangel. I like the Apocalypse stuff. I like what they did to the Beast in that one, where he, the more he used his strength, he got dumber, basically. I think he traded in the blue fur.
I didn't remember that part, but I did read that.
Yeah, it was drawn by Walt Simonson.
Yeah.
Which is always just striking to look at.
Yeah,
it was a really cool run. Yeah,
Thor run is...
Yeah, it's amazing.
Is what I remember the most. But.
Right, yeah. And so X-Factor back in the day was the original X-Men. Like, that was it. It was like, the X-Men
And that was my introduction to them as a team. Mm-hmm. Because I hadn't read, I mean, I was, you know, I could have read the original ones probably, but I never did. And like I said, my purchasing was so spotty. And then I went to college, and like in 1984 I'm sitting in a college dorm and we're like watching a football game and there's a bunch of comics sitting there, and I picked up an X-Men comic and started reading it, and that was the first time I'd ever read one, and I was like, oh wow, this is really good.
Football drove you to reading comics is what I'm
football
hearing.
Drove me. I was so bored watching the football game.
Anyway, so I did like X-Factor because it felt like I liked the I don't know when I came into the X-Men, later, like after Giant Size, I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. I don't know. X-Factor, when was that? 86?
Yes.
So, X Factor is definitely after Giant Size, but I can't remember when I came into it, but it was after Giant Size.
Oh, okay. Because
Colossus and all that was around. So,
yeah.
But I loved the notion of the original team. Like, I'd gone back and read a couple of, I don't know, like every now and then they would aggregate the books in some form. So, I'd read a bunch of them. And having the X Factor team, or the original X Men team back as X Factor, felt like they were throwing older fans a bone.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
which is great.
Giant Size X Men was May 1975. Yeah.
Okay. So the hell? What was I thinking?
And I believe that if I remember the, because I read that Marvel History book, I believe that X Men had been canceled for a while.
Yeah, I think it had. Yeah,
and so that was it coming back, and they sort of, you know, basically sort of rebooted the whole thing.
I was also very confused as a kid, because when I started buying comics in the mid 90s, there were two X-Men titles. I mean, now there are tons of them, right? But like at that time, it was even very confusing because there was Uncanny X-Men, which was sort of the long running, and that's then
the real one, the main
right, exactly. And then there was one just called X-Men. Which is where I started buying them, because, you know, when I bought it, it was like, oh, it's issue 24. I can probably read the last 23 issues, whereas Uncanny X-Men was on issue like 700 or something. And you're like, I'm never going to read those, you know?
Right. Oh, John, just as a programming note, I looked it up. The reason I said 86, because I did a braino, X-Factor was 86. Giant Size was, as you know, 75.
Yes.
So it feels like, okay, 10 years of like growing apart and everything, like let's reboot the original team kind of thing. Dan, to your point, like, there was a lot of that when I started reading. I think it was just Detective Comics at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man just had Amazing. I think Spectacular started coming out soon around there.
Right.
Like, they started, you know, chopping up the lines, because you basically can't get the output from one creative group to fill two magazines a month. So you have to spin up another thing, but it made it so much more complicated to follow anything, and it, in a way, even internally to one character, you ended up with like these little mini verses, right? Which is like, what's happening in Spectacular doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what's happening in Amazing,
right?
Like at all.
Right.
So I was like, what's going on? You can't be, you know, what is the state of this character?
What does a week look like for Spider-Man?
At one point he's like, he's kissing Mary Jane, and the next he's like prancing around on the rooftops with that black cat, like Felicity Hardy, and you're like, this is not cool, Pete.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was confusing. And that was also, I mean, it was made even worse by the fact that certainly on the Marvel side, then you would have these giant crossovers. And I, you know, even without the giant ones, like I would definitely see, you know, you'd read and they'd have the like mention of some event, and then they'd have the footnotes, right? See Avengers 347 or something, right? And you'd be like, where the hell am I going to find that? like that was the thing for me, was always just trying to figure out, well, I clearly have stuck my foot into this huge world, but I'm only seeing this really small portion of it. How do I get more of that? And certainly it was tough to become a comics reader, I felt like, at that point, just because I felt like what I wanted to read exceeded my ability to get those things.
Yeah. Well, comics invented the idea of a hyperlink, but they missed the crucial thing that you you want to be able to click it, and you cannot.
Yep. One of the first big things that I read was like the first like mini series things was with the first Secret Wars, was, you know, going back and having read it, like, because I did actually try to read it again, and I was like, you know what, this isn't worth it. It's not that good.
It's a mess. The Beyonder has like,
at the time it was like, oh, like I don't know half of these characters. Who are these people? And these are apparently all the big shots of the Marvel Universe. And you know, I had been reading for at least a little while at that point again. But it was interesting from that aspect, just being introduced to these characters that I had never heard of, who were presumably worth knowing.
That hit me at exactly the right time. I can't remember how old I was at the time, but I'm too lazy to look it up. But a big old mess of superheroes versus a big old mess of supervillains fight. Amazing. I loved it. Like, there was just so much weird stuff going on in the background. Spider-Man finds his awesome black suit, which is cool because it's black. I don't know. Like, there was like, you didn't need any logic for this, you know? Yeah. What's the motivation?
Yeah, this was 1984. Beyonder? So this was just, this was,
I was 10.
Just as I was getting into it.
Okay. So yeah, I was 10 and you were probably.
Yeah. I was 108.
Yeah. Right. Fun.
I was 20. I was 19.
Yeah. So, it's no fun if you actually give out your real age, man. It's better if we
let me tell you where I was.
Yeah, it's better if we allude to it. I mean, that hit me right at the right time. I did not need to ask any questions. I just needed to see all of our heroes get buried underneath a mountain, and the Hulk is just holding it up. Because how cool the Hulk is.
That is sort of alluded to in Endgame.
Yes, I know. I loved it. Yeah, one cover like made me love the Hulk. I previously did not care. Oh wait, the Hulk is like saving everybody.
He's holding up a mountain.
Oh, he's holding up a mountain all by himself, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm into it. Yeah, I would have liked to see that played a little bit more up in Endgame, but I wanted more Hulk service in Endgame. But guess what? There's a million characters.
Exactly.
There's only. I was just reminded by something else that was very formative in my early superhero exposure. I was sort of googling around to try and find more about that X-Men comic book, and I stumbled across a retro site, and they've got all these logos, and one of the logos on there is Super Friends, which is also definitely something that I watched.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I did enjoy
that too.
Yeah, at the time it came out.
Super cheesy, right? Like, it was just incredibly cheesy, but I remember very well like that style of the Batman Superman animation. And I think that's probably where my earliest knowledge of all the other Justice League members came. So like Aquaman and Wonder Woman, definitely like knew about them from there more than anything else.
Yeah,
but
I was checking the dates on it to make sure I wasn't embarrassing myself by saying that I watched it, but it was
I want to get back to that.
When I was 9 years old, so that's okay.
So I liked I really enjoyed that lineup. It was weird. Like, what is Iceman doing hanging out with Spider-Man? Except that they seem like pretty chill characters that would get along. forgive the chill pun. I didn't mean that. But like,
yeah, really.
But you know, say. Like they both Spider-Man quips. Bobby quips. I don't know if he does anymore because X-Men are all angst these days. So who knows what happens? But he used to quip all the time.
Yeah.
Firestorm is a brand new creation, I believe. I don't
Fire
think she
star.
Firestorm. Firestorm. Star. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Basically, the yin yang to Bobby. She was cool. Whatever.
She might have been created for that. She's in the comic books, obviously now. But
I really thought that she was created for that. But maybe I'm
she
wrong.
Might have been. She might have been. I don't remember.
Yes, she debuted in 1981 on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah. I was pretty sure because I think
that
I
did not watch. I mean, I knew it existed, but I didn't watch that because I was 44 by then.
Do you know what one thing? One thing you don't want to do is I was looking at I was doing this background research. Don't click on old comics that you're pretty sure you have, but are probably water damaged somewhere in your basement.
Yeah,
because you start seeing like, oh, I could get $500 for these things. Like, damn,
there's no way that any of the comics I have are worth $500. Fortunately,
well, that's what hard to believe, but
that's what I told myself when I bought them, and. here's one, $750 for X-Factor number 6.
Anyway, I have way more money in magic cards than I do in comic books. I'll just throw that out there.
Who did Ted Knight voice in Super Friends?
I just saw that, and I was trying to figure out. But I love...
Casey Kasem, of course. Casey Kasem voiced Robin, like...
Oh, yeah, of
for
course.
For a million years, it seems
of
like.
Of course, because he did Shaggy, too.
Yeah, he did kind of... There is not a comic... Yeah, you know,
Ted Knight
not
was
a cartoon
the,
show from the 70s that Casey Kasem didn't have a voice in.
Ted Knight was the narrator. So, meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know what? I totally got confused when you said Super Friends. I thought you were talking about Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
No, I
thought you brought that up and I just, like, talked over you and didn't hear you. So that's why I was... that's why I was just going with it.
I totally had a brain freeze thing because I think I was trying to look up something.
Because of Bobby.
Because that's it. It got Bobby on the brain. Super Friends was pretty cool, but it still had that campy thing.
It was incredibly campy. But apparently there are, my memory of it is extremely spotty. And so just like clicking through and looking at stuff where it's like, apparently plenty of the other, you know, Justice League characters appear. Flash, Plastic Man, Green Arrow. There's like a whole list of, you know, other characters who show up at various places, including, I just saw a good one. Where was it? I think he said Abin Sur shows up at one point.
Whoa. Apache Chief.
Deep cut.
Oh yeah. There's the terrible.
Yeah. Oh man. Really hope they've,
you gotta watch.
Hope they've done something.
I think he's in,
he is.
What's that show?
This is the worst.
Mutant show.
Justice League members created for the series include Apache Chief, Black Vulcan, El Dorado, and Samurai. And it's like, wow, ran the race. You won racism bingo there, guys.
Racist bingo, yeah.
Yeah.
Harvey Birdman. Isn't he in Harvey Birdman?
Oh, yes. Quite possibly. Think he could be.
I think he shows up in Harvey Birdman.
Yeah. But so this stuff is coming out at the end of this Silver Age, right? Which is basically starts shutting down around 1970.
Yeah. So this ran from like the early 70s to mid 80s in various incarnations.
Yeah. I mean, so they determine, the eras of comic books have to do with the comic books themselves, right? But like the portrayal or the way these characters are dealt with in these cartoon shows. Yeah. Harkens back to the Silver Age stuff a lot more than like what was being like contemporary.
Oh, for sure. Like, oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like Super Friends was on, but that was around the time when Denny O'Neill started writing Green Arrow and Green Arrow and Green Lantern. Like things were starting to get a little bit gritty.
Well, yeah. Late 70s. I mean, early 80s,
Batman,
right, yeah.
The Batman animated series is, you know, is definitely still for kids, but it's still so much darker and
right.
Like,
right.
Oh yeah.
I mean the color palette. Look, compare the color palette of that to the one that you got on the Wikipedia page for Super Friends. It's a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. It is definitely a very different work that is of its era and it's post 80s, right? Where like, you know, you've got your Rob Liefeld and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like that's the extreme of the like gritty,
80s aesthetic, but even the 90s weren't much better. Like the 90s was everything kind of mass marketed, right? Like everything, the huge sprawl of titles, the merchandising tie-ins, the everything was like, you know, lasers and dark and all that. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
pouches.
Yeah. The '90s. The '90s bummed me out.
A bandolier, an inexplicable bandolier.
Right. Yeah. For no good reason. Yeah. Then I basically got out in the '90s. I don't know when, like 93 kind of thing.
That's right before enough. I got in.
Yeah, I just had enough.
Yeah, I think I got out then too.
It was like so. At that point, I think I was still working at the store when they started bringing in all of these alternate covers that were like one is silver and one is gold.
Yeah. I had
and
those.
I was like, okay, so why?
So I will say I bought a bunch of
money. That's you know
I bought a bunch of the X family titles. I bought some Avengers, and then at some point, I think in the mid '90s, like my best friend growing up, Jason Tassi, really he was like much more into comics. So he was reading like other alternative stuff. So he read like Cerebus and you know a bunch of those other like sort of not quite indie quote unquote comics, but like stuff that was not sort of mainstream superhero.
Cerebus
comics.
Is indie enough,
right? But like
I mean, it's you know Turtles was like that too,
right?
Ninja Turtles started the same thing.
But I would get a lot of stuff from him, and at some point, I think he got really into Valiant comics, which I then got super into. So I have a bunch of those too, which I really. Like I never got so much into Image or Dark Horse stuff, but Valiant stuff I was kind of into.
I tried those a few times and could never. It just wasn't Same. Speaking to me.
Image never really did much for me. Dark Horse had occasional cool things. They would get spin-offs for like like they had an Alien versus Predator comic. Or
yeah, they had some franchising stuff.
They had some stuff that was cool. Like I think Sam Keith did an Aliens. Sam Keith drew a bunch of early Sandman stuff. I'm going to blank. He's got a resume that's incredibly good. Like he's one of my favorite guys, and I'm going to blank on everything that he's drawn. But he did have like an Aliens run, which with his style I thought was terrific. I really liked it, and it was kind of like only Dark Horse would be able to go out and do some weird stuff like that.
Right. So. Yeah. But there was such a proliferation of stuff at that point in the '90s. That not only did it become harder and harder to follow, but it also, that's why all the comics got devalued, just because there were so many stuff was printed so broadly. Comic-Con, I think, really sort of picked up around that time, the San Diego one.
Yeah, I mean, it became big money.
Right,
exactly. As opposed to just, right.
Well, and also managed to bankrupt Marvel at the same time.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, 6-1, 6-2, half dozen the other.
Which we're still dealing with the fallout today.
Yeah, no, literally. The reason we don't have Spidey, or we can't guarantee that we've got Spidey, is because Marvel had to panic and sell off a bunch of rights to X-Men and Spider-Man. At the time, the two big things in their stable. Probably still true. Although they've made Iron Man and the Avengers, like, big now, so...
I think at that point I started like, you know, I'd watched a bunch of the Batman, the animated series. And then I watched the stuff that it kind of segued into the Superman series that came out. And then there was sort of a Batman Superman team up show that was also the same like ilk. And I think I watched pretty much all of those religiously. And then like after they sort of got rid of everything and rebooted it and, you know, a different version of Batman, I kind of got out at that point. Like that was probably towards late in high school. At which I was like, yeah, I'm not super, I've moved on from that. But yeah, that was, I think comics was only a relatively small portion of my superhero exposure, honestly. And in the 90s, you know, after basically aside from Batman movies, there really wasn't any other superhero stuff happening in
film.
There
was a Captain America movie.
Not that I ever saw, let me tell you.
I have not tracked that one down. I did see the Roger Corman Fantastic Four, though.
Oof, ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah. No, it's terrible, but still.
What was the weird fact?
I'm not sure if it's that much worse than the one with that Chris Evans was in.
Yeah. Well, Chris Evans has Chris Evans, which is... I mean,
there's that, but still,
the movie stinks. But his character pulls off Johnny Storm enough, like he's great. Charming.
There's a lot of like,
right.
Careless misogyny in the movie.
I was just trying to look up the there were I learned some weird fact about the film from it in the, which one was it, 1990? Who was the, who plays Captain America in that? Oh yeah,
oh,
it's
God,
okay.
Nobody.
So right? That's it. That's why I seized upon this, because I just read about this. No, the person who plays Captain America in that movie is Matt Salinger, who is the son of J.D. Salinger.
Oh my God!
What? Yeah, isn't that about the weirdest fact?
Oh my God!
The Catcher in the Rye is playing Captain America.
Yeah.
Oh so my God!
That blew me away.
No wonder J.D. was a total shut-in, and he's like, "I'm not leaving."
I had to back up when I saw that, because it was in an article about J.D. Salinger stuff coming out. They mentioned like, "Oh, his son is like his literary executor, or whatever, who played Captain America in the 1990s movie." I was like, "What?"
You know, that's who amazing. Else played Captain America, but not in like a movie, was Jonathan Frakes.
Really?
He worked for Marvel for a number of years, I believe in the late 70s, just like going around and doing appearances as Captain America.
I can totally believe that.
And was photographed and appeared in, you know, like in the comic books and in the ads and stuff like that.
Good news. Nothing is ever lost on the internet.
Yes,
oh,
that's
man.
True.
Okay, now I've got to look that up.
I've seen it.
Send the link, Dan.
It's already in progress. That's a terrible
awesome.
Mask, by the way. They made him wear a really bad mask.
Yeah, here's the cool thing, though. He could pull it off. He's a big strapping guy.
I would have been. I mean, yeah. In a different era, I guess he might have been the Captain America there.
That's how he hurt his back, I guess.
Oh.
Throwing that shield.
Is that why he's got to sit down funny all the time?
That's why he's got to put his foot up on things. And
yeah. That's why he's got to flip over all the chairs before he sits down. Joe, hey, that's actually, that's a weird callback, because Chris Evans Cap does that too when he wants to rap with the kids.
That's right.
That's true.
So yeah, maybe that's just
that
part
an
of the
homage.
I don't know. Maybe that's just part of the Captain America continuum.
I have to say, I just sent you a link to, I don't know, this is not super sourced or anything, but this is a picture that claims, so it's a bunch of Marvel heroes at the Carter White House, including it claims Jonathan Frakes as Captain America. But I love the lineup there, because it's also Hulk, Spidey, The Thing, Green Goblin, and Spider-Woman, which kind of blows me away, because I did not think she went back that far. I forgot that she has like a whole weird history.
Yeah.
She's got a crazy history. This is a weird lineup. Okay.
Love it.
The Thing costume is great.
The Thing costume really is like something. My favorite
it's
one.
It's collapsing in several places.
It's just deflating.
It's tough life,
that's
guys.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, I always did love when the Hulk and the Thing would fight. That's always my favorite.
Yeah.
Just a flat out SmackDown fight. You know, it was great. Yeah.
Slugfest.
Yeah. The Hulk always wins too. Or close enough. You know, for as much
it's like,
Superman
is that like Flash racing Superman?
I guess so. I don't know. The Hulk is stronger. I think that's like canon. And he gets stronger when he gets madder. So basically, Hulk is the strongest one there is. I think that's what they stick to. I don't know what Thing's limits are, but I mean, he's just a big guy.
I will say on the Flash Superman front, I did see, this is sort of off topic, but recently there was a deleted scene from the Elseworlds crossover last year with Ollie as the Flash racing Superman, or like Superman ostensibly teaching him how to, you know, his super speed. Yeah, they cut it for like, it's, you know, it's a minute long. I was making the rounds this week. There were a bunch of DVDs came out from last season, so they are making the deleted scenes available. Well, you guys have other things you want to discuss in this front, or we could, there are a couple brief things I think we could talk about.
Sure.
Well, say one more thing. I've said this before on the show, but basically, you know, John and I are going to crap all over the X-Men animated show. If you like it, that's great. If whatever got you in, that's cool. Like, there's no judgment, and pass that down. Like, if I'm talking about like, particularly, it was like,
no, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I
No, I was just saying, like, I mean, when I crap on it, I'm crapping on it from the perspective of an adult watching it.
Yes.
I mean, yes. Of course, as a kid, you probably, you know, there's absolutely, I mean, the stuff that I watched as a kid, I try, if you ever go back and watch Lost in Space, it's not great either.
Right. Yeah. No,
and that was like probably my favorite show as a little, as a young kid.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I guess just like, yeah, we'll critique it based on how we felt about it on the at the time, but just don't do the gatekeeping BS.
Yeah, sure.
Please. Like,
for sure.
I mean, not to you, John, but just in general, if you're listening to the show and you like comics, whatever, if somebody wants to get into them and they pick something wrong, like a little buddy Dan here, it's cool. It's cool.
I was going to throw out there, too, good. Just because I also, this was the other cartoon that I got super into, was there was a Spider-Man cartoon on during the 90s. That was, I think, probably where most of my Spider-Man background comes from. Including, I see when they mentioned that there were appearances from a bunch of other Marvel superheroes, including, for some reason, War Machine, like when Rhodey got introduced in the first Iron Man movie, and I was like, oh man, War Machine. And I was like, what was I reading that War Machine, like, why do I even know about War Machine? Everyone be like, who is this character? I'm like, I know everything about this character for some reason that I cannot explain. But yeah, I mean, a lot of my stuff, they did adaptations in that animated series of a bunch of the storylines, including the alien symbiote stuff. Like, they kind of adapted all of that run. It ran okay. for a while. It was like,
oh wait, I have seen that one.
Episodes and something.
I did see that. That was on Netflix at some point. They start off with the alien symbiote. Like, it's J. Jonah Jameson's son.
Yeah, right? He's the astronaut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I God,
for, oh, yeah. Did I watch part of them?
I watched a bunch of.
Oh, well, he's in one of the movies too.
Yes. Right. Yeah. No, but I definitely watched a bunch of this, and I feel like when the Spider-Man movies came out, so much of my Spider-Man knowledge, because I never really bought Spider-Man comics, but I must have come from this, because I can't imagine where else I would have learned about any of it.
Do you know what? And I forgot to mention the Electric Company.
Mm, mm-hmm. That was a little before my time, yeah. So I missed out on most of that.
Spider-Man, oh, really? Not even? Oh, yeah, I guess.
Part of the Electric Company, right?
Those reruns wouldn't have been on.
But I probably caught some of them, because, like, wasn't it on? It was on PBS, wasn't it?
I would guess so, yeah. I don't even know if they...
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't... That's the way I saw it on the Electric Company. I was too old for the Electric Company, but it happened to be on at my friend's
house. Yeah, I never watched
it. He had, like,
I
a younger brother kind of thing. Yeah. That, so.
Right.
And it was Spider-Man, so I was into it. But that was a classic one where he's just shooting webs up at the top of the screen and swinging along, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, I must have seen some of those in reruns, but it was all over well before... I certainly knew of it, but I definitely didn't watch any of it.
Well, I'm pretty sure that meme where he's pointing to each other, to himself, is...
Is that from the Electric? I thought that was from the
I think that's from the original
classic
one.
Cartoon, yeah.
Oh, it's from the...
Yeah, I think that's from the classic
cartoon. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Actually, the Electric Company one is way too crude for that, so...
Yeah. Isn't the Electric Company one a guy in a suit?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah,
is
I think it's a live-action guy, right?
I don't know.
He doesn't say anything. I think he doesn't say anything.
It's been a long
time. He's like a mime. It's like Spidey mime. But I didn't watch it.
I'm throwing a link because, you know.
It's been a long, long time.
Yeah.
This is doing this stupid thing where it doesn't show me the link anymore.
Yeah. Thanks. This is a podcast where our viewers get to listen to us. Oops. Watch YouTube.
I'm sure that will be very interesting to everybody involved.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that sort of answers that question, John. Like,
yeah.
So for me, and I think for all of us, it goes back to sort of a baseline cultural awareness that we sort of took an interest in and sort of dug deeper on. At least for me, I don't know if I want to talk about you guys, but
yeah, no, I mean, I think that's largely true. I mean, there is a certain peer aspect to it of just like. Being exposed to all this stuff that other people are into, and it has a certain amount of virality to it, right? Like,
right.
And I think I always think of Star Wars about that because, like, there were things I quote unquote knew about Star Wars that were not things that were established in any of the movies, right? Like the whole, like, you know,
oh yeah,
Darth Vader getting burned by lava, right? Like, you're like, why? No, that's never said. It's never, you know, and you track it back, and it's like, oh, it was mentioned in this one newsletter, like in the 80s or something. Yeah. And like, and it became
wasn't
knowledge
it in a book?
Somehow.
Did they put it in a book?
Like the, you know,
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kyber crystal thing.
Oh, but the Kyber crystal stuff, but that's much later. That's way later.
It would be interesting to go back and read like the original novelization for the first movie because I read that at the time, but
it's weird.
Obviously, I don't even have it anymore, but
the only line,
it can't be right.
The only line I remember about it is Obi-Wan telling Luke something about like, you know, something about like, oh, you take to this like a duck to water, and Luke is like, what's a duck? And I was like, this is weird. Why are they talking about ducks?
Oh yeah, I think I read that. That's like
it's not good.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I would rather they cut that line than used some space animal.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it wasn't cut. It was a novelization written from somebody wrote based on the movie and expanded it. It was Alan Dean Foster, but it's credited to George Lucas.
Okay, yeah. Like, I like Strong Enough to Pull the Arms Off a Gundark, but I don't want, like, I don't know, like a Peruvian. Oh, that's an actual
kind. You can stop now, it's fine.
I found myself unable to come up with a space sounding name that was not actually something. Whatever. Some ex-space planetary waterfowl. I'd rather just skip the line. You don't need to keep dropping wacky stuff all the time, which is what I think the prequels fell into.
Yeah. Well, we won't get in too much into that. There's plenty of incomparable episodes people can listen to if they want more about the prequels. I think we should talk about a couple quick superhero sweet topics. And then I have a super brief question for people, and then we'll go from there. So, shall we do a little bit of superhero sweep?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. So, the one thing I want to talk about, and we actually talked a little bit about this in our little group chat, was they announced the cast for the next Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, right.
Which is extensive. I'm also kind of fascinated with the fact that they have basically, I feel like in some ways they're treating this as kind of a reboot, even though it has some of the same people in it, because it's a totally different director and it's still called the Suicide Squad. I mean, the first one, I guess, was just called Suicide Squad.
I'm not looking forward to it that much because apparently Steve Mnuchin is not producing this one.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you don't need to feel like you need to pay up
to the Treasury, to the Secretary. Secretary. Like it. That's a deep politics slash.
I didn't even know that was
a thing. Steve Mnuchin was the producer of the original Suicide Squad.
Okay, you produced a lot of movies. It's a weird world that we live in.
That was a weird. Sorry, that was a weirdly deep. Intersectional cut there.
But like, it's got like Taika Waititi and Nathan Fillion in it.
That's my ticket right there. Fine.
Peter Capaldi, Idris Elba, Viola Davis. Yeah. I mean, like, you're kind of sitting there going,
cast.
Why are all these people in this movie? I don't quite understand. Who are they playing? Yeah. Nothing is known. I did love, and I sent to you the tweet where somebody replied, like, what about Jared Leto with a whole bunch of question marks? And it's just responded to by Vincent D'Onofrio, just goes, nope. And you're like, why is Vincent D'Onofrio in this conversation?
D'Onofrio isn't even listed as one of the cast members.
But I don't even somehow know if he's in the movie, but he's just like there.
Yeah, he's just chiming in. He's like, nah, that's don't want him.
So that's weird. So this is the weird James Gunn's, like, I don't want to call it penance, but like, this is his, I got kicked off Guardians 2, and so I went over to DC and did Suicide Squad. Guardians 3.
Yeah.
Went over, did Suicide Squad, and then basically got
reinstated.
Yeah. And so, like, now there's this one weird movie that he's made for DC. I don't quite understand what's happening there, but seems fascinating to me. Just fascinating. What a bizarre world.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't want to get into the James Gunn controversy, but whatever. I'm kind of glad he's back.
Yeah.
So, fine.
Right.
And I'm actually interested in watching this movie.
I have some mild interest in it. I have no idea.
I would say my
I mean, I watched Aquaman for crying out loud.
That was bad.
I didn't even see the first.
Can I gatekeep about Aquaman? Is that? I won't.
Yes, I'm just asking. You can gatekeep it. That's a horrible movie. Yeah.
I mean, if somebody came to you and said they got into comic books because of that Aquaman movie,
I'd be like, yeah, but it's...
I don't know what I'd do.
I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't hang out with them, but it's...
right. I would smile.
It's cool that they've got their thing that they like, you know?
Yeah, right.
If they're not hurting anybody, fine.
Certainly had a number of large sharks on it.
It did.
All of them were chopped. There's also in the continuing bizarre random assortment of DC throwing things at walls and seeing what sticks approach to filmmaking, there's also the Birds of Prey movie coming, which includes Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn and a bunch of other people, so I guess is connected to the Suicide Squad movies, but also it seems to be tremendously
unclear. To tell.
Yeah.
What would they, I don't think they even know themselves.
Yep, I don't think so either. But I'm fascinated. I'm more interested in that.
They're just making movies. They're not like.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm more interested in that, if only because there are characters in that I'm interested in.
So what's the lineup?
It's Harley Quinn. It's Huntress, Black Canary, Renee Montoya.
The question.
Yes.
I'm finally getting my question.
I don't know if it's the question version or just the cop version, but it's also got a good cast. It's got like Ewan McGregor's in it, Mary Elizabeth Winstead's in it. A bunch of other folks. So, I mean, it looks kind of interesting. So,
I have this weird half-baked theory. Which,
please, this is the place
guess what?
For it.
Yeah, right.
You guys would not believe this. Because the Marvel stuff's done so well, DC can manage to get like some pretty big name talent. But I think that the big name talent that end up at DC have not been paying attention to any of these movies at all, other than the fact that they do well. So when they get offered a superhero movie, they're like, yeah, cool. Everybody's doing them these days. I'd be happy to be part of your whatever random Birds of Prey movie happens to be.
Well, it's the like I always think of it as the not to verge too much into our you know day jobs, but I always think of it as the all the computer companies that made blue computers after the iMac,
right?
Where it's like, again, you kind of missed the point. That's just
yeah, exactly.
That's not what made them successful. It was not just that they're about superheroes, though. Right. I'm sure plenty of the bad superhero movies have still made a lot of money. So you know, as long as they're
I think that's the at the end of the day, that's.
I mean, that's the point for everybody.
Put some actors in costumes.
Yeah, and that's not to slight them. Just go get work. That's cool. I just, I'm not... The presence of big names doesn't necessarily give me hope for the movie.
Oh, sure. Right. That's totally fair. Totally fair. Yeah.
Like, oh, God, what was the one that we hated? There's a lot. Justice League.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those actors are amazing.
Yeah.
That movie
was
not great.
No. There's also still a second Wonder Woman movie coming, which very little is known about.
Yeah, set in the, what, 80s?
Set in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I liked the art that I've seen of it so far.
It looks cool, but it's also a couple of shots
from the set, I believe.
I feel like they've been talking about it for a long time, and basically, again, there's
it's like two years out or something.
It's next year, it looks like.
Is it next year?
Currently scheduled for next year. Yeah, but it's still, again, we know relatively little about it, given that it's clearly been in development for a while.
Right.
So, who knows?
I mean, yeah, whatever. Take your time, get it right. The first one was really good. I mean, the final
it's the best
is
of
always lame, but yeah, right. it's the best of the DC superhero. Yeah.
The Snyderverse.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate name.
It is. For an unfortunate thing.
Any other last things you guys want to talk about in sweep before we go to one letter?
I have some follow-up from not last week, but the week before.
Okay.
You guys kept mentioning me that I would be pulling my hair out. No, you know, the games were good, and I forget what else you talked about, but I also agreed with you. I did not take notes, but yeah, I thought the games were good. I really liked the Spider-Man game that came out recently, and I preferred Arkham City to Arkham Asylum.
I'll give you that.
That to me felt more Batman-y because you could move around the environment.
It had the right balance of a big environment without feeling too sprawling in the way that Arkham Knight started to feel.
Well, once you start like shooting rockets out of your Batmobile,
there's a lot of questions.
I'm not feeling it anymore.
It got a little overwrought at that point, but Arkham City is a pretty solid game.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite. And I think Spider-Man is up there, whatever the recent one's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
They showed off, I think it was at E3 this year, they showed off the Avengers game that they're making.
Ooh,
which looks super... The problem is they have no rights to any of the MCU stuff, it seems like. So it all kind of looks like, you know when you buy... You ever seen those like off-brand Legos?
Oh, boy.
It kind of looks like everything's got the serial numbers filed off. It might be a fine game, but like...
And they're all like, you know, like huge and burly. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just sending you pictures all night long, but it's too good not to. Yeah. Oh, it's too good not to show you how terrible that looks.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man. It's like...
Because the uniforms are close enough, but the faces are totally off.
No, the faces are wrong. Yeah, they don't have anybody's likeness. Yeah.
Black Widow doesn't look so bad, but what the hell is Cap wearing?
Cap is wearing like shoulder pads. The one,
he looks like Judge Dredd.
I have to say, I'm gonna be rude and send you the other one, the wider one too, if only because what amuses me hugely about this is that it's also got so you also get Bruce and Thor in there, and Thor is like especially like, well, we can put him in a cape, we can kind of give him the same like. Circle things
but we're gonna make them bigger.
It's and he doesn't look right. Yeah, it's like again, I'm not, I don't want to be the one to suggest that you have to like, you know, adhere slavishly to the MCU.
I mean,
but
I think
it is what frankly, made it so popular.
I think the problem here is Tony looks okay. Tony's acceptable, I guess, but Cap and Thor are not.
I mean
they put him in like football gear.
It doesn't look great, and so I think that's going to be a challenge for this game.
They would never let me do this, but I mean if I could run this game, I mean they won't let me do this because the money for the name is huge, so they want the real deal, but I would do like a West Coast Avengers thing. Pick Power Man and some real second stringers.
Yeah.
And sort of make it more fun and enjoyable.
Right. Yeah. Right.
For what it's worth, I am reading, it seems like they might have tweaked the character designs, but we'll see when that game actually comes out. And is that game any good? That's really the only thing that matters.
So the reason I groaned when you said that it was, what's your input method? Like how's the gameplay with that broad spectrum of characters and how do you tune it so they don't make sense?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a like, weird.
How do you pilot basically a mech in Iron Man and throw a hammer? How do you control a hammer versus like Black Widow?
Yeah.
Black Widow and Cap. Okay. Maybe that seems doable, but the Hulk is drastically different from, you know, like basically a Starship Trooper armored suit thing. So. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's practically confusing enough in the Lego versions.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have you drive up Guy because it's being designed by Crystal Dynamics and Eidos in Montreal. So you can drop by and say hi and see how it's going.
I will. I probably know some of those people. Yeah. Crystal Dynamics is a good company.
Yeah, they made they mentioned this is the first time they've done one of the Tomb Raider games, and I played most if not all of the Tomb Raider games. I definitely played the first two. I might not have done the third one because it just gets a little, any game gets kind of repetitive at that point. The first
okay
two
that's
were
making
good.
Me feel better about it. That's making that's okay. So the creative team behind it makes me feel better about it in these screenshots, so we'll see. Anyway,
so well, maybe when that comes out next year, so we'll see.
You know what I want to play? I want to play the game with the picture above these that you sent
with the Jonathan Frakes
with
Captain
the deflated
America.
The deflated thing.
I would that'd be amazing.
I have to put these in the show notes.
An inexplicably green goblin.
Yeah. I've decided to team up with the Avengers.
Yeah, Dan, sorry.
I'm a good guy now.
You really do have to put these. I love Cap's battle stance too.
And you get Frakes in. You get Frakes in to do the voice of Cap.
I would be down with that. He would be a
can't go wrong with Wrecker.
So awesome.
Can't go wrong with Wrecker.
All right.
It's what all the women on Rigel say.
We got just enough time for a letter, so let's go to the letters page. All right, last one from our lovely collection of letters from reader Daniel, which is not me. I'm just clarifying.
I don't know what you've heard.
No relation. Which of the shows that you follow would you most want to see try a Lower Decks style episode?
Oh man. First of all, thank you so much for asking about Lower Decks, because I just had to do a reach to try to get in a TNG reference there. Which of the shows? I think S.H.I.E.L.D. seems to make the most sense.
I kind of agree
with that. Yeah, I would say S.H.I.E.L.D. makes the most sense. I'm not sure. I mean, because you sometimes get a little bit of that with Piper.
Yeah.
Davis.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think of like a way to dearly beloved
Yeah. I think Supergirl could be interesting just because they've got a similar organization. We could see more Piper. So
I want to see the
But I don't care about that show enough that I don't care about those people.
I want to see the Arrow show about all the people who work under like in the mayor's office.
Yes.
And how they deal with the revolving door of mayors.
Oh, like the West Wing? But
Well, we lost another mayor this week.
Oh, they're not even political appointees. They're like
they're the civil servants. Like, they're like administrators.
Yeah, like career civil servants.
Yeah, or the police or Star SCPD? City Police Department where there's just like you have a new cast every week.
Oh yeah, he was gunned down in a raid with some guy. That guy got shot by an arrow.
It's like he was poisoned. It's like Strike Force. There you go. Did you ever read Strike Force Mortuary?
No.
Oh really? Okay. That was a Marvel comic in the late 80s, I think, or early 90s. And it was a set in the future, aliens invading Earth, and so they come up with this method to fight the aliens. They are going to make their own superheroes, and the process that makes these superheroes kills them after a year.
That's why I thought it was like the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, okay. So you would have these characters, and it didn't run like terribly long, but eventually they would just like blow up.
I was gonna say you could throw in something like Damage Control, and then that made me look up the fact that the ABC ordered a pilot for Damage Control back in 2015.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And no one ever heard anything about it ever again.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
I do like
which was going to be sort of a comedy, right?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. It was a little strange. It was like that one that they made. What was that one that lasted like four episodes? There was a DC one, Powerless, where it's like the insurance company.
Right.
But I think maybe they saw that and were just like, you know what? Axe it. Like this doesn't work as a concept.
This isn't going to work.
Yeah. I do like the idea of, almost like a CSI for Star City. I just have one scene that I just want done, which is a really frustrated morgue guy trying to slide a body with a bunch of arrows sticking out of it into one of his frozen lockers.
I just picture
because they just won't go. Because the arrows keep bumping. Okay,
So instead of doing S.H.I.E.L.D. Lower Decks, how about Hydra Lower Decks?
Oh. That's funny, too.
I think that would be fun.
I wanted to throw out the long-suffering morgue attendant as well, who just, like, is reading the autopsy report to the SCPD, and it's just, like, reading down, it's like, cause of death was... anybody want to take a shot at this? Anybody? Anybody? Arrows. It was arrows. And everyone... all the cops are just, like, sitting there, like, oh, sorry.
Should have known that. I was going to say it. It seemed too obvious.
I thought it might be poison this time.
We could have a Star City Medical where basically, oh my God, I forget her name all the time.
Yeah, that doctor, right?
Favorite doctor.
And it's just like there's constantly superheroes coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's basically Rosa.
The pilot episode is her coming like back from a conference.
Yes, it's like a French farce. There are doors opening everywhere, and she's constantly trying to keep everybody separated so that nobody can see who everybody's secret identity is.
Right.
Isn't that kind of Rosario Dawson from the Netflix show?
Right. Yeah, right.
Type thing. But so here's my pitch for the pilot. It starts with her giving a speech on stage at a doctor's conference all about arrow trauma and how to deal with it. And that's how you set the scene.
I will say, if you've ever seen, if you ever read, there was a limited Doctor Strange series written by Brian K. Vaughan called The Oath, which opens with a scene with the night nurse has like a clinic, and they like Wong like drags Doctor Strange in, but like there's first like a couple panels where like, you know, Iron Fist is sitting in there and he's all like bruised up, and it's like somebody asks him about another superhero. He's like, we don't all know each other, you know. like it's a great little vignette moment of that first page or so. Like it's really not any important with the rest of the story, but it's a funny bit. I agree, I like those sorts of things where it's like, yeah, you could just have the waiting room for all the superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Lower Decks is one of the best episodes of Star Trek.
It really is.
Agreed. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well,
that's why they're doing a series on that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, asked and answered. So
yeah. Kind of randomly. We threw a lot of ideas out. How about
sure.
that?
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
any other things you guys want to talk about before we wrap up here?
Why don't we decide what to do next week so we don't panic like an hour beforehand?
We don't have to do that on the show.
Sure. No, but okay. But we have some ideas, right? Like
Do people want to? Yeah, write in.
No,
don't write in. Never mind.
Well, we're gonna figure it out after the show. It's too late to write in.
That's
because I want to have time to do the homework and all that too. Right.
All right. So next week there'll be homework, and I'll announce on Twitter. We'll put it out like what we're gonna do once we figure that out. So if you too would like to do the homework along with us, you can.
Yeah.
But until that time, we will wrap up. I will thank my compatriots as always for being here. John Maltz, thank you for joining me.
Dan, I am a living Lower Decks.
I don't know what to say to that. Guy English, a pleasure as always.
You know, what's been happening a lot on the Lower Decks. There's been a lot of people down there just taking a buff and having a good night.
Even I know that's not how it goes, but great. That's
I had to adapt it to you stubbornly not wanting to go with the sign-off that we created.
It's weird, almost, that I won't. But thank you all for reading along with us. We remind you, as always, to please send us your questions at BiffCast on Twitter or biff@theincomparable.com if you would like to have us answer them on air. And if you would like to support the show, there's always becoming an Incomparable member or buying our very, very fancy t-shirt that you can find a link to in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in this week, and we will see you next time.
Dun 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 dun